Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Do you mind telling me, first off, a little bit about your band and kind of the band members, just to kind of introduce everybody to you guys?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Keith. I'm the singer of Northvale. Mike is our lead guitarist. Chris is our rhythm guitarist. And Aaron is our drummer. And we currently are bass playerless. But that's a whole other topic.
Fans sometimes move members. It's our...
Yeah, that's... It happens. But yeah. So we started in late 2019, Mike? Early 2020, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, our first song came out in 2020, but we like went into the studio with the intention of starting a new band in like December of 2019. So like right before the whole world went to shit. So
yeah. So we were like a quarantine band, I guess.
Speaking of mental health.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Sent everybody into a spiral.
We did a lot of when we started the band. We did a lot of just. You know, talking over the internet and sending little recordings back and forth with each other before we actually all got in the same room together. And what's even crazier is we recorded our first EP at a studio in New York State, and we recorded it before we had ever played like together as a band. So like we had never like jammed or anything. Like, we never got in a room and like had practice.
All
or
did your separate
just,
pieces.
Like, yeah, we just recorded an EP together, and we knew we all vibed together. You know, we knew we were all friends, so it was cool. It was fun to like do something, especially during quarantine. You know, like to like be able to like find a way to actually get a recording done. We stayed there for a while, like right, Mike. We slept over for like a couple separate weekends or something, and we laid down the EP. So it was. It worked out well. I think the whole scene at the time was going through like a huge change anyway. Mm-hmm. And when quarantine happened, it almost leveled the playing field for a lot of people because you had bands that were huge that didn't know what to do. And you had bands that were no one like us that didn't know what to do also. So no one knew what to do. So everybody was just kind of throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck. And I think that our first EP kind of just landed a little harder than anyone anticipated. Not saying it did insane, but like we were all kind of, you know, we were just kind of having fun. And then we were like, oh shit, people listen to it. We're like, well, now what? Right,
yeah.
Mike?
Yeah. And you saying that it kind of leveled the playing field is true. It's interesting doing the interviews that I've done because the whole COVID comes up almost always as, and then when that happened, then I had to kind of figure out things differently because, you know, it no one could go anywhere. And as a musician, I mean, you're used to going places. You have to go to places. That's what you do. And so it's kind of, it really did. I never thought about it that way, but it did. It puts big stars and big musicians all at the exact same place, Facebook, TikTok, wherever, all you could do.
So it was nuts.
Yeah, well, I don't think we played a show for the first, like, 2 years of being a band? We just...
Yeah. It was the wildest time, right? We were just like, what do we do next? We would, like, sit in a room together, eat pizza, and drink beers, and be like, all right, well, maybe we should record a song and pay for a YouTube ad. Like, we didn't know.
Right.
I don't know. It was crazy. Right.
But how different would it have been had that not had happened? I mean,
you know, I almost don't know if the project would have taken off. Like maybe we would have made more bad moves, you know?
Right. Isn't that interesting how that all kind of plays out?
Yeah.
I think it forced us to like focus on doing all of the like social media stuff and like writing songs and like really drilling down on the songwriting process because we just knew shows weren't on the horizon at all. And so it kind of forced us to do that aspect of the band rather than focus on worrying about like making a really tight live show. And I don't know, I think it was beneficial for us because, you know, now that we are playing shows and playing out, that's a significant chunk of our like band time is like practicing for shows, getting like right. the live rig ready with the backing tracks and making sure we're all like synced up to play with that. And that takes, you know, nights of our limited free time that we put towards the band. And, you know, we just yeah. got to be able to focus on specifically songwriting and social media promotion, which was, I don't know how many bands get to just start off doing that, but you know, I think it worked out in our benefit.
Were you guys active within the social media? I know some bands are pretty active on their pages as far as responsive, I'd say, to fans and things like that. Were you guys pretty active within your pages?
Well, I mean, I think we really started the account when we went in to record the EP. So we all just logged into the account. It was the four of us and a friend of ours, Danny, who we used to just say was our mascot. He's just our friend. He was like, right? Danny was just with us for like the first 2 years or 3 years of band. He just like was always there. I don't
know. You ever see those like early like A Day to Remember documentaries that they filmed when they were like in the studio and they had it's like a guy
that's there.
The gold teeth or whatever, and he was just there and like, you know, like,
yeah, I feel now. Like I hope Danny lives in Florida right now, but if he ever comes back to Jersey, I hope he can hang out with us all the time again. That was good times. But yeah, we all just logged into the account and we would just sit there. Whoever wasn't recording or doing anything, they would sit there and they would just follow people. We would just go to bands like in our scene, you know, the Jersey scene, sure. like a couple bigger bands, and we would just follow people that were following them. And then you would see who followed you back and we would talk to them if they messaged us. And
yeah,
we posted a couple things and just like slowly tried to build it organically, because I guess the conversation definitely came up of like, hey, should we just pay for like a zillion followers mm-hmm. off the rip? And we just decided that it'd be better to organically grow it and see how it went. And I think we made the right choices with that.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to both, but I think maybe a little of both, or the organic route is you're reaching the right people at least. And you know, part of the reason why I'm even doing this and started this is because I think that the connection that you make with artists, whether that be, you know, them in person or through the music, is when you can make an impact, then your fans aren't going anywhere. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if your next album's good. It really doesn't matter anything, because if you can connect with them on that emotional level, they're going to support you always because you've made an impact on them. So I love that you interact, you know, with fans and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to, I think, as a, you know, a smaller band, it's like, just, I think you, like what you said, if you make an impact with your fans, then they're not going anywhere. That's for sure. It's wild how that works, like to just really pay attention to people and just like try to, you know, like listen to what they have to say and care a little bit, and you have like a friend for life.
Yeah, it's true. I think in the end we all just want to be seen somehow, you know, some way, and sure. seen. And I think that when someone impacts you in such a way and someone holds space for them to be seen, that it's definitely, it can be life-saving, I think, sometimes in some instances. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I read that you guys are advocates for mental health, and we talked just briefly about that. Have you guys always been advocates for mental health, or was there some sort of a switch that went off to where we need to focus on this?
I guess we are advocates for mental health. I think we're both victims of mental health.
Listen, there's not very many people that aren't. That's why I'm like, please, everybody just talk about it so everybody knows they're normal.
I don't think I realized how much of a, I don't think I realized how much there was to talk about it. You know, it's something I've been dealing with for a long time. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 17. It's almost been like, not important to me at like after so many years. It's like I just live with that, and it's not something I think about often. I mean, it's some, maybe it is. Maybe it's just like so drilled into my daily routine of life that it's not, it's not something I have to like consciously be like, oh, what do I do here?
Did
So
you
I don't
ever
know.
feel like that put a wall between you and other people, though, being diagnosed
Oh.
with bipolar? Like my son is bipolar, and so that's I absolutely love talking about all these things. But what kind of wall do you feel like that put up between you and, say, other people?
I think that growing up, I was lucky enough to. It was an odd town that I just came from, and it was just the specific grade, like our year of people. We didn't have cliques. It was the most strange year, like of kids in that school. There were no cliques. It was just like all the dudes hung out together, all the girls hung out together. Everyone hung out together at parties. There wasn't a lot of like outcasting being going on. Once we got a little older, it wasn't as bad as what I saw in other grades. And there was a lot of like tight-knit groups that were large, you know what I mean? So I was lucky enough to always have a friend group that I maybe like, we didn't know what bipolar disorder was, but everyone knew, okay, Keith is like this, Keith gets like this. And it was, so I always had a relationship with a close enough relationship with a lot of people. I had like a nice, I don't know what to call it, like just like a safe place to exist, right? And
It's important.
even when I did spiral out of control, when I did, like I had so much support. They didn't, not necessarily knowing what was happening. It was more just like, well, that's my boy. So, you know what I mean? But getting older and realizing like the issues that come with bipolar disorder, I do think about it now, especially when I'm in like large social situations with a lot of people like I don't know, like say even at a show or anywhere like that, where there's a lot of people I don't know coming up to me, talking to me. I tread lightly on things that I used to not think about, like drinking. Like I know like drinking is so bad for you if you're bipolar. Like it just, it sends you, it's like not good for you, right? That doesn't mean you can't drink. It just means like when you drink, you're going to become a certain way. There's probably not much you can do about it. So are you in a situation where you can be like that?
Yeah,
Is
are
it
you in a
safe?
safe place? Because
Yeah,
if you're not in a
can you,
safe
right.
place,
Then like right, so like maybe like so that's how it is. So at shows, I tend to really not drink. We can we leave. We usually have our show. We hang out at the merch table. When the doors close, we go find like a nice little bar or a restaurant. We get food. We get pizza. We hang out. We have some beers, and like we hang out amongst ourselves.
And
But
there's
so
not
like
that
that's
pressure to be a certain way, among so
exactly.
many people.
Exactly. And I think that that's really all it is. I know mental health really crushes some people. I've noticed that like as I got older, not everyone is lucky enough to have so much support with it. It can destroy people. I see it happen all the time. I personally haven't been on medication since it's got to be like 6 or 7 years now. And for me, that's fine. Like I figured out a way to exist without medication. I just, I looked at my triggers. I looked at the things that really make me terrible. And I think the biggest thing is like being able to seriously look at yourself, or like being able to hear the voice in your head, the crazy voice, if you will. Like you have to be able to listen to that voice and be able to know when it's being like when it's telling you something ridiculous and when it's not. You just have to be very self-aware. Get sleep for me anyway. I need to get sleep. I need to eat right. I need to work out. And if I
I
do
think the
those things.
self-awareness is huge, because that's I mean, I've had conversations with my son, and I always know when he's struggling, because that's like the week I don't hear from him. Otherwise, I hear from him all the time, because he knows I know him well enough to know. But he is, I think the self-awareness comes in to where you're like, oh, I am getting ready to be so manic. I got to figure out what to do. But knowing and being able to identify, it doesn't per se fix or alleviate it, but it kind of does because you can watch it and you understand a little bit what's going on. And yeah. I think the self-awareness is what saves a lot of people, you know, when yeah. you can look at it through non-emotional part, maybe back up a little bit and understand yeah. like this is gonna go away, it always does,
right?
Type
it's
thing
it's
instead
tough.
Of thinking that this is it.
Yeah, no, mania is yeah. Bipolar disorder is weird, right? Like
right.
you have mania and you have depression and it's on this constant cycle. So yeah. I mean I don't know what your son has, but I have bipolar too. So for me it's a like a 2 week type of period
yeah.
where it just like, you know, it's constantly like this.
Yeah.
So I know that when I'm everybody knows when I'm manic, yeah. you know, it doesn't
right,
I don't,
right,
right?
No, I,
like, I don't even have to, like, when I'm manic, like nobody, like there's way less response in band chat, you know, like because they're just like it's just all me like talking to myself, like just paragraphs right. of like nonsense, like or like crazy ideas, you know, like
right.
and that's fine and I don't care because like it's my friends, so like they don't yeah. care, it's whatever. And when I'm depressed I might like not go on Instagram for 3 days.
Right.
Because I just can't. Like I don't want.
Yeah, you know, your spoons are gone, you're full up.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah it's no. Like, yeah.
It's so that's how it is. And yeah. That's a weird thing to deal with because you're both like, right? Like you're super up here and you're super down here. Mm-hmm. And it's like you have to learn how to treat both of those sides of you.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a little OCD in there too. So the OCD yeah, kind so of will trigger a little bit, but honestly, it's I teach a lot on not necessarily mental health, but authenticity and like being okay with who you are and talking to others about who you are and allowing them to see who you are. And I have such a passion for people talking about mental health and all the struggles of just humanity, because I feel like if we would, then not everybody would feel alone. But because yeah. almost everybody is affected, like we all have grief, we all have depression at some point. And if you don't ever, then I am so grateful for you. You know, you have no idea, but most people struggle at some point, but yet, you know, nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
As much, you know, it's more like you need to go to the doctor, but it is a huge part of, I think, just humanity.
I think you're right. And Mike, don't let me hog the mic here, dude. Like,
I know you got fun stuff too. Yeah. I mean, I've struggled on and off with depression and, you know, OCD and stuff like that. And, you know, I am also not medicated currently, mainly because, you know, I've been on, you know, the SSRIs and the Lexapro and stuff like that. And I just don't like the way it makes me feel. Like, yeah, it eliminates, I guess, being sad, but then you don't feel anything. And yeah, sure. I'd rather feel yeah. something than like walking through life like a zombie. That's just
right.
You know, like I guess I'm okay, but like it didn't fix any of the problems. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily fix it. That's what they don't talk about.
It's a band-aid. I've been on Lexapro too. I've been on a couple of things. Lexapro worked the best, I guess, but it's the same thing as Mike said, right? It's like you're sad, but it's weird. Like you
feel sad.
You don't feel sad, but you still know. I feel like I always knew I was sad. Like I'd be like, you're so sad right now. It's like smiling. Like
You're just numb, right? It just numbs all your emotions and numbs everything. Yeah. And I mean, I get that it's a time and a place. I have anxiety and the struggle with anxiety and depression through my life. I think that's maybe one of the reasons I'm like, tell me you've never had anxiety. Like, just tell me you have it. Like, you know, so you have to.
Yeah, every day.
Like, why? How can you live on this planet and not? That's more of the question.
Some people, I think, can. And, like, you know, I guess good for them. That's sick.
I agree. Yeah, but, I agree.
But, yeah, I think most people do have some form of anxiety, especially today. There's a lot of crazy. Today's very crazy. There's, like, so much shit going on.
You have I know.
To worry about. It's just, it's, like, a lot more intricate to be.
Yeah. Like if it's not one thing that you're upset about or worried about, then it's this, you know, or it's so much.
You don't have to think too hard to find something to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, have you struggled always with having depression and kind of just the ups and downs of it?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to be so like intimately like tied with Keith on stuff because like, you know, bipolar and depression, they kind of go hand in hand, but like I don't get the big manic, like I'm going to be, you know, up here for 3.5 weeks now. And so it's, but it helps, you know, when, like, I feel like when it gets bad for me, Keith knows it's bad for me, and he'll like, he'll reach out and he'll kind of, you know, I just said this on another podcast, but like he texted me like a week or two ago. I was going through a bad depressive episode, and he texted me, he's like, "Hey, this is your friend, Keith, not your bandmate, Keith. And we need to talk." And I'm like, okay. And so I think having the support system of people that understand your mental illnesses definitely helps. And, you know, for me, and I don't want to talk for Keith, but I think for Keith specifically too, you know, music has always kind of been our outlet for dealing with those feelings in a healthy way. That's, you know, not super intrusive. And, you know, when we were younger, we wrote songs about certain things, but as we get older and we're trying to write songs that I think are a little longer lasting and more impactful with like a wider audience, I think we've been focusing a little more on, you know, adult issues like mental health, rather than, you know, writing a song about a girl that broke your heart a few years ago. I think that's, those things are kind of fleeting, but I don't know. It's especially now, the songs that I feel like I'm connecting with are songs that deal with more internal strife.
Which one of those was, if I was to say, which one was your favorite to do or most impactful? Do you have one that was more impactful out of the three?
Yeah, I think that I can't call it my favorite, but Hang In There, Kid was the most impactful one. It's the one we just came out with. That one was super personal to me. I kind of went back and forth on that, like almost questioning if I wanted to even go through with writing that. Mm-hmm. It was almost like it's crazy to say, but I probably started to write that when I was manic, right? Mm-hmm. Because I was like a superhero. Nothing could affect me, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I sit with it for a little while, and I don't even think I finished that song until we were actually at the studio recording last winter. And
I didn't hear the lyrics until you were on with Gary, and you know, I was like, "Ooh, this is really on the nose. You want to be this on the nose?"
On the nose, yeah. So usually, how it works in our band, anyways, Mike and Chris write mostly just all the music before before I even get started. Once in a while, I'll come up with something. I'll be like, "Hey guys," but they really put the piece, they put the bones together before I start writing lyrics. So this is just what I heard, you know. I listened to the song, and this is what came out. So I started to write it, and it's very personal, as you could probably tell. And it's just like, it's super on the nose, and it was hard writing it. That was the worst part. A lot of times when you write things like this, at least for me, it's therapeutic, but this one specifically, it felt not therapeutic, because it was almost like this was so long ago when this occurred that it was almost dead and buried at this point. And it was like I sat there and like dug up a scar for no reason and like bled it out.
Was it again difficult to do?
Yeah, it was. But
to bring those emotions back up.
But that's what I heard. Yeah, because I think that I've come so far since then. I'm still bipolar and I'm still me, but I'm a completely different human at this point. I grew up a lot, and I've dealt with, and like, I've gone through a ton of shit to bring myself to where I am now. So it's just like, it was almost like diving back into a younger version of myself that didn't really know how to deal with this stuff.
Right.
And it was like really like gut wrenching for me, the writing anyway. You know, people have asked like, what's the hardest part? It's definitely writing it, because once it's written, I guess recording, you want to get that emotion, right? You really want to try to get in that place, but you're still in a studio surrounded by people, you know, your producer and your bandmates. And it's like not a super weird
vulnerable
space. Right. And then even the video, recording the video, it's less like reliving it, because you're very focused on shots, you know, like you're doing something. So you're trying to act, you do your best you can, but writing it is seriously the most intense thing. And I think the reason I did go through with all of it was because I just knew that this was a topic that it needs to be addressed. And
it does.
We like Mike said, I think we all started to connect with more like songs about more serious topics like internal strife rather than just your stereotypical pop punk song, which is still awesome, by the way.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
But this one, I felt that, you know, it started it. I should just finish it. Let's go through with it. And like, maybe, hopefully someone somewhere will hear it and it will stop them from doing something terrible. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's all I can ask for.
Yeah. I think that just helping one person, it would be completely impactful for so many just in that one person's life. The suicide epidemic is huge. And again, I think holding space and people just needing to be seen and know that they're okay is a huge, you know, thing. And I think music is a catalyst to help through that. There were times with my son who I didn't know if I came home and he was a teenager that he was going to be there, you know, whenever I got home. And now he's amazing. He's one of my favorite humans, but now he has his own kids, so he can deal with all that, you know, but he's getting payback. But I think about what it would be if something like that did happen within my family. And I it's not something that I want anybody to have to deal with. And I work with some veterans that deal with that as well. And it's just something that's not spoken of. And further, men's mental health is not addressed a lot. And that's a huge struggle. And I can't, you know, I can't go out and say, hey, this is what you need to do. But I think more that men are more open about it, I think that creates a safe space for other men to talk to.
Yeah. You know, on another podcast, we heard the same thing. And like, that was another thing that hit me differently. I feel like I don't know why I'm not aware of all of these things. Like, I don't know why men don't.
I feel like we grew up in a weird bubble where like that.
We did,
like,
dude. Our town, man?
I do see that often. Like I see it with, so like I grew up with Keith in the same town. We knew each other since we were 6 years old. And I went to a different high school and it was like an all boys Catholic high school. And it was like this very like preppy kind of like, you know, like I'm not rich, but like there was a lot of rich kids there. And there was a lot of like, you know, you got to put your airs on and like act a certain way. And a lot of those people were a lot more guarded than the way like I would communicate with people in from my hometown. And that was a shock to me. So I have friends to this day from that high school that like, we don't talk about like our issues. Yeah. It's surface level shit. It's like, you know, we're going to talk about football and video games and maybe, you know, our girlfriends and wives and that's it. Like we're not digging below the surface. It's a completely different thing than what we grew up with. And so I absolutely see and agree that men don't talk to their peers often enough about, you know,
their own. And I get not wanting to be like, I'm going to cry all the time. Like as women, we take that. I get that. But I think the more that everyone starts to focus on healing, there's always around women's groups and there's always support for women and there's always this. And then on the opposite end, which I think women fail to realize is men are expected to be strong. You're expected to be this, but why won't you communicate how you feel, but you better be this. And it's like, see, that's confusing too.
Mike, maybe we should start a men's group.
Seriously,
dude. Like what? I don't get it. Like I've been doing this forever. Like if someone calls me up, like, hey, yo, let's go out tonight. Like, nah, dude. Like, why? I'm fucking depressed, man. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fuck you, Keith. Okay. All right. See you tomorrow. You know, like what? Like you don't have to cry to your friends about it. If you don't want to, you can, you don't have to just be you and just be like, dude, I'm depressed right now. Yeah. I have bipolar disorder. I'm depressed as shit. I can't go out. Or I'm manic as shit right now, man. If I drink one beer, it's going to turn into 20 and then I'm going to go to prison. So we can't go out tonight. You want to come here and do that with me? And this, you know, and we'll lock the doors and hang out. Like, up to you. You pick.
Yeah. It's just an interesting balance of it, I've noticed. And in our group, we have, you know, we do have a small group of veterans and a small group of men that come in. And I talk a lot about self-sabotage and like all these things, you know, that we do to ourselves. And that's the hardest. They're the hardest to get to be like, hey, just come in and listen. You don't have to, you know, do anything or make yourself super vulnerable. But I think that that's missing. I think there's a missing piece, you know, an additional missing piece, I want to say, to the mental health. So let's see. What about Already Dead? That's the first song I heard from you guys. And I actually ran across it, I think, scrolling through and found it. And that's when I messaged you guys.
Already Dead is another interesting one. That one,
I didn't even really think about it, but like the first three singles we put out are all, you know, your internal, there's other songs and themes on this record, but those first three songs we put out are all your personal struggles.
Yeah. Aren't they? So, so Already Dead is like straight. I mean, it's a lot of things, right? But clearly you can see in the music video, it's like surface level. It's like, it's almost, I don't want to call it like a stab at religion, right? But like it's saying that, like, you know, I don't like what have you done for me, God, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't believe in you at all. Like, you are not here. I'm here, mm-hmm. and I'm picking myself up. You know, I'm the one doing, or the people that I've surrounded myself with mm-hmm. are the ones that are here for me. And it's like, why am I going to sit here and pray to something that doesn't like help me or come or talk to me, or when I could talk to Mike and he answers, you know, or I could talk to the support group that we will start soon. And we'll
answer. Shoot the link over. I will share with the men in the group.
But I mean, it's beyond that, right? Like, you don't have to just take it as that. It's more of, it's a song about just believing in yourself. That's all. Like, it's about, you know, taking responsibility for your own actions and believing in yourself. And saying, you know, the song says, if I'm not going to live, then I'm already dead. Mm-hmm. So I want to do what I want to do. I want to live. Yeah. And if not, because if I don't do that, then why am I even alive? What am I doing?
Yeah, I kind of took it on. Us as always being on the sidelines and watching everyone else, you know, do things and live life. And we use the excuses, whether that be mental health or things we don't like about ourselves or not having money or whatever, we don't live, you know, we don't. And if we're not living, then what are you doing? Like, it just doesn't matter. And so that's when I listen to that. And I was raised Christian. I believe something so much, how do I say it? I believe that religion just makes everything so small.
I agree with you there.
You know, and so when I saw the church immediately, I was like, I'm intrigued on this. And then the whole words and everything, I do think it can be taken so many different ways. But in the end, it's just like, if you're not living, you're not participating in being like the main character in your story, then why are you here?
Right. And I think that's more of the point that I wanted to drive home with the song. The religion thing, I guess, is just more of a visual aesthetic, right? Like, for me, maybe that's something. For me, that's something.
Yeah. Well, I feel that too. Yeah.
But that's just me. Right. Yeah. So, you know, for everyone, that's you nailed it. Like, that's exactly what it is. If you're not going to live, then like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just do you.
Yeah. And I think the religious aspect of it is huge too. I tend to just always believe that that's always how it is with religion. Yeah. So for me, it's just a given. But I do think that so many people, and again, in the little community that I teach, it's called Blend Your Spirit. And so it's a whole bunch of different belief systems all mixed into one, because in the end, do we all really know? Do we really know?
No. Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the thing. I agree with you that religion makes the world so small, right? And maybe I personally don't believe in a God, but My wife certainly does, and she same thing. She's more spiritual, I guess. Mm-hmm. She, there's no religion tied to it. But I was raised Catholic, and my wife's mom's family is Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife was raised Catholic, and I don't know. I've had a lot of terrible, terrible experiences with religious people throughout my life, and I don't, maybe it's turned me off. I was also like, before I dropped out of college, I was a science major. So I think science kind of like goes hand in hand with like anti-religion, right? It's just too, so I, that's just, but that's just my path. And like, I do want to make it clear. Like, I really do not judge anyone who follows anything at all. Really. This is just, you know, this is my story. That's the whole point of this. I can only tell my own story, right?
Yeah. You can only tell your truth. And honestly, if they're listening and they have an issue, then this podcast may not be for them, because that's really what we focus on, is everybody's story and their journey, because everybody has a whole entire lifetime behind their journey. So,
right.
Yeah.
I always took that song too as like, you know, again, I hate to harp so much on our hometown, but like, I feel like we were both raised in this like Italian, Irish, Roman Catholic kind of thing. And we were dragged to church every Sunday.
every Sunday.
Like, our parents, I think, were the last generation. Like, they were doing it out of tradition, but not because they cared so much.
Right. And so when we go through the motions.
Yeah, when we were like, I think we're atheists, it wasn't like a shock to them. It wasn't like,
yeah, you know, they were kind of just like, go to church. All right. Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Well, I mean, a lot of times if you want corruption, you go to the church. I mean, that's it is a bunch of ritualistic type things.
Yeah, man, it's just weird. Yeah. It bugs me out a lot. I won't sit here and like knock every little tiny thing, but it's not about it. Like, I have a son too. He's 2 years old, and I'm not putting him through the motions.
Yeah.
Cause all of it bugs me out. It just bothers me. I don't want anyone touching him and doing it. I just think in any way for any weird ritualistic thing that I don't find value in.
Yeah.
So we're kind of just cruising over here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people find whatever they're meant to find. I don't think anybody needs to be trying to force that, which is a whole separate podcast.
Yeah, right.
Right. The whole separate country, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll start that one too.
Start that one too. That's so funny. So what do you think is missing, I'll say, in the world when it comes to mental health as far as the support? What do you think that can be done, or what do you think's missing? I mean, we've talked a little bit about support groups.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I guess if anything's missing, It's got to just be awareness that people with mental health issues may arguably be the majority of humans in the world, not the minority. And I mean, I don't have any data except for my own life, but I feel like everybody struggles a little bit. Almost everyone struggles.
How many people do you know around you?
That don't. I think maybe two.
Right? And you probably know a lot of people.
I don't know, man. So that's what I'm saying. I think that people just need to be aware that it's fine. And also, I don't always like to say, like, I don't like to call it like an issue or a mental health issue. Like, all right, I have bipolar disorder. Great, cool. I'm happy we put a label on it. But like, that's just how I am.
Right.
It's right. And like, everyone is just how they are. So like, why is it called a name? Like, I get crazy sometimes and I get sad sometimes, and that's just Keith. Right. So why is that
bad? I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I think that there's this very specific box, you know, that is, you can be this, and if you're anything outside that box, then something's wrong with you. When there's so many ranges of just human emotion with everybody.
Yeah. Right. And I think it can almost be, I mean, depending on what it is, it can almost be a superpower at times, right? If you can like find a way to use it for good. Like, if I have a manic episode, I mean, like, don't paint the house, you know, don't rearrange the furniture, but when I write music, a lot of the music gets written when I'm manic, because it's almost like I can hear like 10 different ideas for the same part of the song. And I just like sit there and like ruminate with it. Right. And I just like pick and choose, like, this goes there, this goes there, this goes there.
Yeah.
That's, I can't do that when I'm depressed for sure.
Right. Right. So no, I think the human mind is absolutely fascinating. My grandson is autistic and nonverbal. And so that, you know, that's just a whole another thing. But for me, he's just him. Like I use that so people understand, well, he's nonverbal, but you know what? He talks now. They said he never would. Grayson's just Grayson. Like, just, it's
that's
not.
That's how you have to look at. I think that's how you have to look at everything.
Yeah. Mike's just Mike. Keith is just Keith.
That's it.
And if more people would talk like, Kitty's just Kitty. I mean, I think that people would, you know, start to understand. I think maybe accept is the right word, you know, allow people a place to belong with it.
Yeah.
So what do you guys have coming up?
Mike, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So we're putting another single out on December 18th. And then we're going to do the album. So we were originally going to put the album out this year. But after talking to a bunch of other bands and other people who are doing this for a while, they were like, you guys are really dropping the ball if you're going to put this album out 5 days before Christmas, which was, you know, kind of how the schedule fell. And so we decided to put out one more single, and then we're going to drop the album towards the end of January. I forget the actual date off the top.
It's like six weeks after this one comes out.
Okay.
Something like that.
And then we're going to try to book some shows and start, playing out again, because we kind of put ourselves in a little silo, because for a long time we were like, we just kept taking shows. Like every time a show would come up, we'd say yes. And then we'd practice and we wouldn't write songs. And we went through this like drought almost for like a year where we didn't put out any music. And I think it was really hitting all of us in a certain way where we're like, well, I'm kind of done playing. Like, you know, for a local band, you only get maybe a 7 or 8 song set. And so we were just like, we're tired of playing these same 7 or 8 songs. Like but in order to do that, we had to like hit the pause button on like accepting shows, which probably rubbed some people the wrong way for a little while. Cause we were like,
Definitely. We
were like booked on some things. And we're like, look, dude, we need to like hunker down here.
Yeah.
And so we hit the pause button on playing out. We spent all of our free time trying to write our album, and we went in with like, 19 pre-pro demos that we'd narrowed down to a 10 song album. And so, I think I'm really proud of it. I hope it resonates with everybody else the way that we think it will. And, we're excited to start playing some of these songs out live.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Do you guys have plans? I know it's expensive to tour, but do you have plans touring outside of your state ever?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we're trying to plan something in late spring, early summer, right? With another couple bands from the West Coast and trying to, you know, expand our regional reach, if you will, a little bit. So we're pretty excited for that.
Yeah, we'll be getting out there. We're gonna do it. We'll do the whole thing.
Nice. I look forward to that.
Just gotta figure it out.
I know. It's so different. We often talk about that. It's so different touring nowadays. It's just different.
I think you can be a little more analytical now, which I think is good. Like you could actually like, we can see on Spotify, like with the demographic data, like exactly what like cities people listen to our songs in. And I think that's, you know, like, I don't want to be like this like rah, rah corpo person, but like, it is a valuable data point that like we didn't have 6 years ago, like when we were playing in other bands. I didn't have any of that stuff, so
it's true. We know where we can go and where it will work, and we know where we shouldn't go.
I live in Oklahoma, so I always have to travel. because usually the shows get canceled down here, because usually it's all country down here. But you can, and then people will travel to come see you and then just slowly grow from there. So,
yeah.
So where can people find your music at?
They can find us on Spotify, on Apple Music, on every streaming service, really. I don't, Mike, is there anywhere that you know of that we're not on?
I mean, maybe. I'm sure there's something new and but, you know.
I think we're everywhere. So,
the vast majority of people who subscribe to a streaming service or even YouTube or anything where you can get music, steal our music if you want. I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, go for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys on most social media? I know I have found you on a couple, but you're pretty much on all social media.
We're everywhere. I'm pretty confident in that. It's just all at Northvale Band everywhere. Okay. Even what did I just make? I just made a, how do you even say blue? Is it blue ski or blue sky?
I think it's blue sky. That's how I've been saying it in my head, but.
All right, cool. I'm gonna call it blue sky too. And then I made that like a couple weeks ago, and I made a Mastodon.
Okay.
I like the Fettyverse stuff. I'm a fan of that.
I don't even know what's happening. I'm just posting stuff. I have no idea how it works. But we're everywhere at Northvale Band. We stayed on Twitter. I know I feel like no one uses that. I like to go on.
I have a Twitter. I don't get on there too much.
I could go on there.
I feel like you have a bot that, or like a, what, not a bot, but like a thing that just posts on everything. What's the
me? Anything good that costs $1 million. So that's why I don't buy anything. I have like, what the hell is it called? I have something that like you can schedule threads on I forget the name of it. Buffer. It's called Buffer. So I could schedule threads and you can schedule Blue Sky and Mastodon posts on there, but that's all I use that for.
Oh, hell yeah. Look at you being efficient with your time.
Well, otherwise Facebook, what is that? Like the Facebook, the Meta, like,
yeah, there's Facebook like, and you can connect it to Instagram and all that stuff.
Cool for that stuff. TikTok's on its own because I tried to schedule TikTok posts and they just get squished. I don't know why we get no love on TikTok. I can't figure out that for the life of me.
I shouldn't do that. I think TikTok, for you to get love on TikTok, you have to go live a lot. If you go live and you did say, I don't know, say you jumped on and were playing guitar or singing or something, or just sitting there with your dog, like whatever, like especially artists, when you go on there, that's when you start getting, and TikTok gets a lot of bad, you know, rap and things like that. But I've honestly met some of my closest friends on there that I've traveled to go see, and it's been a great thing. There's some crazy crap on there, but there's
Sure. Yeah, I think there's crazy stuff anyway. Yeah. The internet is the internet.
It is. Well, I love to end the show with this question: that if you had a friend that was struggling with mental health, what is something that you would say to them as a word of wisdom or advice?
I would just tell them that they're not alone, and everything inside of them that's telling them to shut down and close themselves off, ignore it and do the absolute opposite. Go to your closest friend or family member and just tell them how you feel. Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah. It's hard, but
I agree with that sentiment. I think, you know, for at least what works for us is just being straight up open and honest with exactly how we're feeling all the time. And I would just encourage people to, you know, be more open. I think that a lot of times, especially for me, when I'm going through like a depressive episode, you start to feel closed off and like nobody actually gives a shit about your problems. And like, why would they care to listen to me? But I think people would be surprised how willing and, you know, able people are to help you.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, I'd much rather deal with you being in a shitty mood, being mad at me, crying, whatever, than you not be here. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life of KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.